Good morning, everybody. Good to see your faces, you saints of God. Oh, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly Father, we thank you more than we can honestly say with our mouths, our hearts. If there was a better way to express all of our love and gratitude to you, I would pray you'd give it to us. But from the depths of our being, we just thank you. We thank you that even though we live in an age of difficulty, challenge, turmoil, uncertainty, we are certain about our lives with you. We praise you for that. We thank you for the word that you have sent to us that heals us, delivers us, that is forever settled in the heavens. What you have said will come to pass. There is no denying it. And we give you praise for that. We have confidence in you, and therefore we have peace in our hearts. We give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I was teaching you about tongues, the gift of the Holy Spirit, tongues and interpretation. And I'm going to pick up again on it because we have more to learn. Tongues might have been the most controversial expression in the body of Christ over the last 120 years. It certainly was controversial on the day of Pentecost, but it seemed to be the ruling order of the day because Pentecost was the first revival in the history of the church, and the expression of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church was with tongues, and that's what excited everybody, stimulated everybody, encouraged and infused people with power of the Spirit. It was wonderful. So, last week, I shared with you about the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues. They're two different things. Although tongues is involved in each one, the use of tongues is different, and even the type of tongues can be different, meaning I know from my personal experience, whenever I speak in tongues for interpretation, seems to be a different language that I speak versus the tongues that I speak in personal edification. So, the difference begins with the fact that one has to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Lord was saying to his disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you will receive the promise which I have told you about. The Holy Spirit was a promise to be given, to be poured out upon his people. It had been prophesied by Joel, it had been prophesied by Isaiah, and finally, the Holy Spirit came to the whole body of Christ. In the Old Testament saints did not experience the fullness the way we do. We are so fortunate. And so the saints, they were obedient to Christ. They waited in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to cover something there with you. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want to dispel the thought that that experience was only for that time and for those people. The whole of people that were at Jerusalem at the time heard these guys and gals speaking in tongues. They were no longer just in the upper room, but they must have filled the streets with their joy, and they were creating such a havoc by praising God. And that is the one thing about the initial aspect of speaking or praying in tongues. It will always give glory to God, because it says the crowd heard them declare the wonderful works of God. You hear this? That's what they heard. See, tongues, just personal tongues, is for personal edification, intercession, and glorification of God. And then down in verses 30, see, where am I? Am I in the right chapter? Yeah. Jesus, or Peter, was just preaching this amazing sermon. In verse 37, Acts chapter 2, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you, to your children, and to all who are as far off, as many as the Lord your God shall call. So, the fact is this, tongues has not disappeared, nor ever will it disappear until finally we, the church, have come to the state of perfection where it is no longer essential, and we won't need that anymore. But the gift of the Holy Spirit accompanied with tongues reaches out all the way to you and your children and as many as the Lord your God shall call. You follow? There's no end to it as an expression in our lives. We need it. Bless the Lord. So, tongues and interpretation, the gift of tongues from 1 Corinthians 12, is a different use of tongues with a different tongue. Tongues that we get with the Holy Spirit is to build ourselves up, to edify ourselves, to intercede, to glorify God. Tongues as a gift accompanied with interpretation is for you. It's for you. Speaking in tongues, it says, we speak to God. We don't need to know because he doesn't need interpretation. Some arguments I hear from people are, well, I don't know what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. You're talking to God. He knows what you're saying. That's the end of that argument. Okay? However, the gift of tongues is God speaking through us to the body. One is for our benefit personally, the other is for your benefit corporately. And it must always be accompanied with interpretation, or it doesn't make any sense. Got it? Okay. Tongues for the purposes of God and for the purposes of God's people. I want to speak to you about intercession. Tongues and an intercession. So turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read a very confusing translation. And then I'm going to read it from a different version. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now here's how that reads in the New Living Translation. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Now, there's something mixed into these two passages here. It has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit in us, interceding in us. And it includes, I must say to you, both praying in tongues and something called groanings. Groanings. Over 50 years ago, I was a most desperate, hungry, passionate young believer. This was probably back in 1970, somewhere in that area. And we were in a charismatic church in Springfield, Illinois. And the Holy Spirit moved, the charismatic move was present. God was doing amazing things. People were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so many things were taking place, and everybody was speaking in tongues, but not me. And I was desperate for it. They said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? I said, I think so. I mean, after I got saved and the people told me about the need to receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with him, I prayed for that. I never spoke in tongues. I was like millions of people who experienced that oddity. You've received, but you don't speak. And so there became this ridiculous doctrine that, Well, not everybody's going to speak in tongues, which is absolutely contrary to Acts chapter 2. All who got the Holy Spirit, all spoke in tongues. All do not get the gift of tongues to edify the body, which is a different expression, different gift. But all who receive the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues. So I said, that's me, Lord, yet I wasn't. And I thought, like a lot of people, that the Holy Ghost would take a hold of my tongue and my lips and my throat and start speaking through me. So I would sit like a bird sometimes, waiting for the Holy Spirit to do something. I'm serious. And it got to be crazy and funny, and I thought, what the heck is going on? And finally, one day, I read the scriptures again, and it said, they began to speak. The Spirit gave them the ability, utterance, but they began to speak. And I was like, wow, all I have to do is begin. So I got down between the pews on my knees, and I again said, thank you, Lord, for sending Holy Spirit to me as a gift. I receive him. And as an act of faith, I began. And I began. And I began to speak in tongues, and out flowed this river of language of just gush out of me. So forcefully, I was shocked. And I didn't want to stop. And I prayed in tongues, and oh, I just prayed in tongues and tongues and tongues for, I don't know, at least a half an hour. And then all of a sudden, something happened that relates to Romans here, 8, 26, and 27. I began to groan. I went, and I could feel this thing. I'm thinking, what is going on? And it was a result of my praying in tongues for a season that all of a sudden, these groans came out of me. I thought, what the heck? And it kept coming. It wasn't like I could turn it off easily. And I thought, I think this is God. I'm just going to let it happen. And I let it happen. And finally, it all began to calm down. And I prayed in tongues again for a little while longer. And I stopped. And I reflected on what happened. And I thought, oh my gosh, I feel different. It's as though something was dredged up out of me, came out. Pain, I recognize it was pain that was from years of personal hurts and things. And I realized that the Holy Spirit was doing something in me that I wouldn't have done on my own. I wouldn't have known how to do it. I wouldn't even know how to address some of the stuff that was going on in my background. But I did know God did a work. And not only that, does the Holy Spirit clean us, but he births in us. Paul talked to the Galatians about how he prayed for them and interceded for them, groaning for them, travailing for them, that Christ be formed in them. And there is this work of the Holy Spirit that is like bringing forth a birthing in our lives to continue to work the work of our rebirth. God is so hungry to see us be conformed to the image of Christ. But it's an issue of letting him go in us, letting him be. And from that time on, where I learned that all you had to do was begin to speak and the Holy Spirit would give the utterance, I plus Andrea have helped probably hundreds, would it reach more than that? Hundreds and hundreds of Christians get set free to speak in tongues because of this little simple key to the release of the Holy Spirit in them. I wouldn't trade the ability to speak in tongues. I pray in tongues all the time. I do it automatically, and I do it even now, like some of you, I'm sure, without instigating it or instituting it. You just find yourself speaking in tongues, praying. Your spirit is just urged to release itself, to glorify God, to speak to the Lord, and it's building you up all the time. I make no apologies for it. We don't have to apologize. We need to experience. I want to teach you something now about intercession, that tongues is used for intercession. We can intercede for ourselves, which is one of the most prominent things that the Holy Spirit does, because when my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful, and I do not know how to pray, but God knows the mind of the Spirit, who understands what is necessary in me and prays for me through tongues. If I could accomplish it without tongues and I had all perfect understanding in my mind, we probably wouldn't need tongues, but God knows we do. And therefore, we have this wonderful opportunity to do that. So there's intercession for ourselves. There is intercession for others, and there's intercession for purposes of God. So, I just told you about intercession for myself. One of the very first things, and I thought back on this, I said, geez, God, why did that happen to me? He said, well, you never knew that you would be a teacher or share these things, but I gave it to you early, so when the time came, you could teach people about it. Simple as that. If I had not experienced this, I couldn't teach it to you. I wouldn't know how to teach it to you. But now that I can recall what initially happened and what has happened subsequently, because this birthing, this groaning, this cleansing, whatever intercession has happened more than once with me. So there's personal edification and intercession. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit praying through me can do what I cannot do with English. Secondly, there's purpose in praying in tongues, meaning it accomplishes the will of God in some fashions. Years and years ago, when this church was a young church and we bounced around the city, and in fact to several different cities, locating and relocating to worship, we had times when we had to leave where we were because the owners of the buildings or whatever wanted the property back. And that happened to us one time in the midst of a season where we were all coming together, and the next thing you know, the owner says, you're going to have to leave, and gave us virtually no lead time. So when I got notice about that, I got in my car. My car is a prayer closet. I get in my car and pray. There are times when I just have to leave. I get in my car, I'm sequestered from everybody, and I just get in there and rip it out. I just pray in English, but I then pray in tongues, and I pray and pray and pray. So I got in my car, and I started to drive around Cheshire aimlessly, really. I just didn't know where I was going up and down the streets, through neighborhoods, this and that, praying in tongues, blah, 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 blah. And then I came alongside Cherry Street, alongside the synagogue in town. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, stop. I began to interpret my tongue. I interpreted my tongue. Stop here and go inside and talk to the rabbi. I said, why? What? Stop here, go inside and talk to the rabbi. So I stopped. Went inside, didn't even know if the rabbi was there. And the door opened, and he greeted me, said, hi. We had pleasantries. I introduced myself. I told him who I was, and I explained our dilemma. We don't have any place. And I said, is it possible that we could use the synagogue? Oh, he said, sure. He said, we don't meet on Sundays, as you know. Now, next thing you know, we were in the synagogue, and we had some wild times there. Remember? Oh, my gosh. Extraordinary times with the Holy Spirit. Here's what happened. The Lord has helped me to understand this for your benefit as well as mine. While I was praying in tongues and interceding for God's purpose and his people, the Lord was working on the rabbi, putting him into a present place where he was there and in an agreeable state. So when I popped in, he was totally willing to yield over the synagogue to us. How many times this happens, I don't know. We have no idea how God works behind the scenes. When we begin to pray in tongues, we don't know up here what is going on. God does so. We start to pray and he starts to accomplish. A couple months ago, I'm going to give you another. This is how intercession for others can take place. This is an illustration. There's a pastoral prayer meeting that I go to. We've been meeting every Friday for a couple of years now for revival. We pray for revival. And there was a new brother that came into the meeting one Friday morning. And I looked at him and I didn't know him from Adam. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, pray for him. So I don't know how to pray for him. He said, well, use tongues then. Does God ever talk to you like that? He should. You should have an honest conversation with God. And he said, pray for him in tongues. Okay. So I started to pray for him. Then I got a vision. And I saw something in this vision that was, whew. I saw him standing in front of his congregation, and then there was a group of men behind him who were leaders. And one person was bigger than all the others, taller than all the others, and totally black. And this person, in the vision, was moving close behind this pastor, like he was moving up behind him. I said, oh. And I started to get the interpretation of the vision. So I said to this pastor, when it seemed appropriate, I said, brother, God told me to pray for you, and I got this vision while I was praying. I said, let me share it with you. I said, I saw a picture of your leaders standing behind you, and I saw this one person, bigger than the rest, all dark, moving towards you. I said, I think this man is planning to overtake you, to supplant you. And he said to me, I have been wondering about that guy. One time he makes himself out to be my friend, and then behind my back, he does things counterclockwise to everything I've done. God is warning you, be careful about him. He said, thank you. Then he says to me, when I came into this gathering of you guys to pray, I looked over at you, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're going to learn something from that man. Just like that. God, see how God works? So, months pass, and this pastor comes to me and says, you're spot on. We had the coup. It's over with. He's gone. But if I was not warned about it, I would not have known how to take care of it. Tongues as intercession for others. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Now I want to talk about tongues and interpretation as a prophetic aspect. Tongues with interpretation in, first of all, speaking in an unknown language and then interpreting it in a known language is valuable. There's something heightened in that whole experience. It's prophecy. Tongues and interpretation are equal to prophecy. It is for the benefit of the body. But there are times when prophecy is illustrated. I'm going to give you a couple examples in the Old Testament, and then I want to give you, from our own history, an example of how tongues can be used in a prophetic demonstration. First, we can turn to Isaiah chapter 20. Look at verse 2. At the same time, the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go and remove the sackcloth from your body, take your sandals off your feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So that really happened. So the prophets of old would do things that would seem weird. I mean, for 3 years he walked that way to warn as a sign and a demonstration of what was going to happen. Could those people have repented during that time? Yes. But they didn't. And so the effect of it was powerful. I mean, what would people think after this all came to pass? Then another illustration is from Hosea chapter 1, where the prophet Hosea, chosen by God, was told, you have to marry a prostitute. Her name was Gomer. And so, in obedience to God, can you imagine a prophet of God taking to him a wife who was a prostitute, a known prostitute, to demonstrate to Israel that he, God, was married to a harlot. She had been unfaithful to him. And they had children. And he did this all the days of his life. So the idea of a prophetic demonstration is not new. It now shifts over into the New Testament with Acts and interpretation being a sign, a parable, an example, and an illustration that is very powerful. Years ago, and I believe it's going to happen again, saints, what I'm about to tell you, when the Holy Spirit was moving here so powerfully, people like you were giving themselves over repeatedly to let God just use them. There was a fella in our church named P.J. Alves. P.J. Alves would have been considered by most people a minch. You know what a minch is? Oh, come on, go look it up. He was, and I don't mean disrespect, but he was a little dumpy, okay? Kind of the guy that you would walk by, you wouldn't give him two shakes. Kind of quiet, you know, unobtrusive, but yielded. And PJ used to sit out here. And the move of the Spirit was happening. People were rejoicing, praising God. There were different prophecies, visions, scripture reading, testimonies, all kinds of things. And PJ popped out of his seat. And he would, I'm going to illustrate this to you. He would come out of his seat. And then he would start doing this, you know, and pointing out things that he would go up here on the platform, and then he would act out like he was pantomiming. Follow? He would pantomime. And all the while he would do this, he was speaking in tongues. And everybody here was glued. What was happening? And the first time it happened, I was like, what do I do now? And I realized he's not here for pretense or show. He's not demonstrating something for his glory. He's doing something that God wants him to do, and he's obedient. So as I said that, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have always said to God, what do you want of me? And he said, interpret that. I said, well, how do I do it? He said, well, you do the same pantomime. And I was like, what? Do it. And in obedience, all of a sudden, I started to act out. I was standing up here, and every move that PJ had made, every demonstration he was performing, I was illustrating and interpreting. And I recall one of the times when he came up here on top of the platform, he went like this while he's praying in tongues. He grabbed something off of a branch, pulled it down, plucked something off of it, held it in his hands, and then peeled it. It was a banana. I mean, he was illustrating the peeling of a banana and other things related to it. And then the interpretation came to me. I took the same banana and I peeled it. I said, thus says the Lord God Almighty. He is going to take us like bananas and peel away this surface that is preventing me from moving in your life, the flesh that covers the reality of your life, the who you really are. The substance of the banana is not the peel, but the inward life. And I was like, am I saying this, God? Yeah. And it ripped us, did it not? If you were there during those days, those were the types of things that God was doing that he wishes to do again. And he's going to use you to do it. Because all you have to do is obey and yield and obey. And it starts out simply with being willing to exercise praying in tongues. I'm going to give you five areas to pray in tongues about. Of course, I'm not saying don't pray in English. I'm saying pray in English, but also pray in tongues. Here are the five areas. One, pray for yourself daily. Pray daily for yourself. Two, pray for your family, all your loved ones. Married couples, children, grandchildren, whatever. All you have to do is mention their names and just pray in tongues. God knows exactly what to pray about. Three, pray for the fellowship of life. We need it. Four, pray for the whole church. And five, pray for this nation and the lost, that they would know Jesus Christ. And once you begin to exercise this, it'll become a beautiful habit in your life. Something else is going to happen to you. The cares of this world, the frustrations, the fears, the anxiety. The biggest word that's used on television today is alert. Alert. Everything is an alert. Be alerted. You know, it's like a warning. Everything is warning and threatening and frightening and challenging. And God is peaceful and calming and totally different. And so we need to learn how to navigate this world in peace so that the world sees the peace of Christ on us and in us and through us. Now, I'm going to pray for you. I don't want to be hasty and say, I don't know if everybody here is baptized in the Holy Spirit. There might be a few who aren't, who would like to be and would like to experience praying in tongues. Let us know. You can come up here. We will pray with you. If you have received the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues once or twice in your life, but you're not active, you need to ask God to forgive you for allowing that wonderful experience to dissipate now and say, God, please, I want to restore that wonderful experience. Would you please help me? And then begin to speak in tongues again like you should. Will you do that? Remember this simple thing. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit will help you. Father, I just thank you again for this extraordinary, supernatural, profound experience of receiving Holy Spirit, who joins with our spirit and enables us to speak, to pray, to praise, to intercede, to glorify you in languages, not just one, but many, that pour out of our innermost being, out of our spirits, to accomplish your will, to achieve your purposes, to establish a wall of defense against the enemy, and to bring into life your promises for people that you love. We just thank you for it, Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. We should be in competition with him. That's how I feel. That if he could say that, this great man who gave over his entire life to serve you, knowing the needs of his life, prayed in tongues more than anybody, then we too should know the need of our lives that we pray in tongues. We ask you to help us this day. Get us started again and be glorified in all that we then bring forth through our prayer language. We give you praise and honor through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints.